This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women. You're listening to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for the Other Woman Show. Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. I'm all about that bass, no trouble. Meghan Trainor there with All About the Bass. Now, you've not gone back to 2014. I put that on for a reason. It is linked to our topic today, which I'll get to in a second. I am Hattie Ashdown. I am the presenter, being very formal today, of the Funny Mummies for the Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. And this next couple of episodes, I think we're going to do about five, on birth stories. It's something we've not really talked about before. Me and Gemma Beagley.
Hello, is here. Here I am.
We're recording from home, so it feels a bit weird. We're not social distance at all.
We're sat on the same chair.
But we're sort of, I've never recorded off my own laptop, so she practically sat on my lap, but we're sort of in a bubble. A bubble of naivety. But that song, I asked Gemma. So first of all, we're going to talk a bit about Gemma's birth story. Not her own birth, I should say. Her child. You could talk a bit about your own. That song. I said, what brings back memories of that time? And she said, All About the Bass.
Yeah, so I think it was number one at the time. So it was on the radio and everything all the time. And it's a great track.
Yeah.
So it just reminds me, so I was feeling a little bit sick, actually. not at all. But just the madness of just becoming a mum.
Yeah.
You know, early days, just in a complete sort of fuzz.
So, did you take us back a little bit then? Mm. So did you plan to have a soundtrack or anything like that?
No,
it wasn't one of them.
No. I didn't have a plan. The plan was to go into hospital once I had started having contractions,
right,
and leave about 2 hours later with a baby in my arms.
Did you do any prenatal groups?
Yep, I did NCT.
Did you?
Because the reason I did it was because I wanted to have some local friends.
Yeah, that's where we all do it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe some people, because of the shit that they tell you about, I thought maybe people want to go to learn about what birth's like. But I said, you've got the internet these days. Why do you need a woman in a turban telling you about breathing or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's. I think that's. That's pretty much what people told me. Yeah, it was like the doctors do run some kind of prenatal groups, but they were like, I think a friend of mine said, if you want to be a bit snobby, go to NCT.
Yeah.
So you went to NCT, but from that you just went, actually, I'm not gonna, because they NCT, for those that haven't done it, they do take you through different options of birth, of pain relief.
And just the process, and to be fair, I found it really interesting, the learning about the birthing process, and the mother and the baby working together, using hormones to get this baby out. It's amazing. Just the kind of the science behind it, and about how hormones just rush and tell your pelvis to open. Physically, your pelvis opens. The bones, it opens to get this baby out. I hadn't thought about it. I guess I hadn't looked at what a pelvis was like. So it didn't occur to me that actually it needs to open in order to get the baby out. And that the baby twists, that it's facing that way and then it needs to twist its way out. And all this amazing stuff.
I think that's what people don't realise, really, is I did hypnobirthing as well as NCT, but they're, obviously they're big on that, is that the baby wants to come out. So much is, you know, jokingly said, oh yeah, you've got to push out this watermelon, but the baby is meant to help to come out as well.
But I think it's the pelvis bit that blew my mind. I was just like, whoa. So you go into labour and your bones move.
Yeah.
That was like, oh shit. Yeah.
What scared you, or?
Well, it was a bit weird. It was a bit freaky. But yeah, so it was, and just about the, I forget the name of all the bloody hormones now, but the oxytocin.
Yeah.
That rings a bell. The, you know, the elation, and that's the natural pain reliever.
Yeah.
So you can do it. You don't have to have, you know.
Yeah. You know.
You can do it because there is a natural pain reliever.
He's meant to release, a natural oxytocin. And I know some people that it has, but not for me. And did it not for you?
What, the birth? At the birth?
Yeah.
Well, I did it without, you know. I did gas and air.
Did you?
So I guess, yeah, otherwise. And I don't remember.
Wow.
I suppose we're going to get to that. But I don't remember it being. I guess the idea that I had would be the pain would be my. We'll get technical. My fanny being stretched.
Right. That's where you thought the bit would hurt.
That's what I thought the pain would be.
Right.
It would be that my vagina is going to have to stretch so far, and this baby's going to come out, and it's going to be scraping its fingernails along my vagina.
Yeah.
And because the hole's only this big and a baby's this big, it's going to tear open, and that's what the pain is.
Right.
And then back pain, because I've seen it on the telly. It seems to be some kind of back pain.
People rubbing the back.
Yeah, and maybe it's just that the contraction. So it's like a period pain.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of contraction. What I now understand was that it's not so much pain as it is the energy, for me, the energy it took. And that these contractions come along and it just hits like a, you know, it just hits you. And so you're trying to do this thing which takes a lot of energy without any energy. I guess that's for me.
Did your contractions build up? Were they quite small?
Well, I got induced because I was a couple of weeks late. And they induced me, so I put the pessary thing in.
There's so many different types. And even though I've had it, I get confused.
This is like a strip.
Right. So the first stage one, because they say that it's different stages of...
So it was like a strip.
Right.
Which I guess had the whatever...
Yeah, releases a...
releases a chemical. Mm. So up that went, about 2 in the afternoon. And the midwife said... And I was just at this point, I was just like, oh, God, I just need, you know... I felt massive, and it was just like I couldn't sleep. I didn't sleep. I hadn't slept for weeks, really. And 2 in the afternoon, and the midwife said, this probably won't work.
That's good. Thanks. Positive attitude.
Exactly. Ugh. Anyway, so I went home, and then I had a TENS machine someone lent me, and I really liked the TENS machine. So, and then at about midnight, I was like, I was getting contractions. I think they started at about 11:30, 10:30 at night, and then by about midnight, John, my husband, had gone to bed. He'd gone to bed, and I just sat up.
What, he'd gone home?
Yeah, we'd gone home.
Oh, you've gone home?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and he wasn't with me when I got induced, actually. So they said what was going to happen. I was just going to put this thing in and I'd go home.
Oh, because I wasn't sent home. But anyway, go on.
So then he was in bed. And then at about midnight, I was just like, yeah. So I called them and I said, look, I was induced this afternoon. Mm. I said, I've been having them for about an hour and a half. And she said, I think it wasn't that busy. And she said, I'll come in.
Mm.
So I went and got John and said, it's time. So, and I'll be honest with you, I find it very difficult to remember what happened between. I can't remember leaving the house.
Really?
I can't. And you know, we'll come to perhaps why I can't remember. And getting to the hospital, I remember being dropped at the main entrance while John went to park the car. And I remember it being security there, you know. And I remember going up to security for him to let me in. And having a contraction, having to stop and put my hand against the wall and have a contraction before I said to him, I need to go to the maternity ward.
Ugh.
That's what that was. Yeah, so I just sat on the maternity ward and, yeah, just contractions were getting stronger, gas and air. And it was just... And then I guess I remember... I remember a lot of blood. I think my waters broke when I was on the toilet or something. And I remember the strip really? Coming out.
Ah.
And I remember them a few times measuring me, sticking them fingers up me and measuring me, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember in the distance hearing screaming women, which, and that's a horrible noise when you're in the vicinity of hearing.
And at this, up to this point, was you feeling quite scared or quite calm?
I was quite calm.
Yeah.
Because there's a real thing of, I don't know what you've, but there's a real feeling of inevitability about this.
Yeah.
You know.
It's coming
out.
It's
bigger than me. This is bigger than me. This baby's coming out.
Yeah.
And it, and I also, during NCT, you know, they said, you know, that about the oxytocin helping and about how, you know, keeping calm helps the release of it and all that sort of stuff. So I did, yes. I sort of went, okay, fine. And I kind of just trusted that everything was going to be okay, stupidly. And then, because I had no plan, and they said, well, look, there's up in the ward up the top with the swings and the sex swings and the balls and the pools and all that, you know, the bounce, the soft playroom.
Then,
do you want to go up there? I said, yeah, I'll go up there. So I went up, went to the toilet, had a shit, and came out the toilet.
You said the urge.
Yeah. You know, it's just like, you know, you just want to, I did, I had a good old shit. And then John went and had a shit. We came out, they took my blood pressure and said, your blood pressure's too high, you're going to have to, you can't be up here.
Oh.
So basically, we just use the nice toilets, the two of us, and then we got so bad. And then I can't remember.
Was that like the birthing room where they had like the pool and everything?
Yeah, the pool and the ropes and the yoga balls, the Swiss
they
balls.
They hide all the medical stuff away so it looks less medical.
Is that what they do?
Yeah, it's to make it look. It's so you don't. Down there, they don't have any of the machines. They don't
have any.
Yeah. They didn't have gas and air, but that's it.
Yes, that's right.
It's for those that want more of a natural... Home from home birth.
Yes, yeah. And I know that they didn't have... Like, I wasn't able to have pain relief up there, basically.
Yeah.
Or, you know, chemical...
Epidural.
Boscopephidine, whatever. And I'd made the decision that... I felt like I'd made the decision that I didn't... Ideally, I wouldn't have an epidural or pephidine. One reason is because I've had problems with drug and alcohol addiction before. Right. I didn't really like the idea of having a strong old drug, so the pephidine. And more so, I don't know if this is true or not, they said that the pephidine can make the baby a bit drowsy. I just didn't like the idea of like this druggy baby.
I never heard anything good about it. And if anyone's listening and you had a good experience, great. But all I ever heard was that then the baby can sort of make the baby slow down. And like you say, going back to the whole thing, the baby is going to help you to try and get out. I was like, well, then that's defeating that. So I didn't like that idea. But...
And then with the epidural, I think when it's explained to me what an epidural was, so I would have to push when I'm told, rather, you know, and I just thought, oh, it don't sound like something I'd get on with.
Right.
So, you know, I went just gas and air. I'm not a hero.
Mm.
It's just, that's just the choice that I made.
I think you are.
So it was just contractions and contractions, and that's all it seemed to be. And I can't really remember any. I remember going from room to room.
And you could handle the contractions? They wasn't too bad?
Yeah. Apart from the energy that every time it happened, it reminded me of it's like your battery running down, or like a computer game where your lives are being lost. Yeah. It's just like right, and I knew I was just like, okay, I need to get this baby out soon because I don't think I'm gonna. I think I'm gonna part like I'm gonna collapse.
Right,
I've got no reserves. I hadn't slept for weeks.
Yeah,
I hadn't. I've got a great diet anyway. Like I was unfit. That yoga class that I was going to take, that I decided I was going to take when I was 15 weeks, I was just too busy at work, just didn't. So I was just completely unprepared. And I was just like, okay, when is it time? And then I moved into the bit where you actually, what's it called? Where you actually have the birthing suite or whatever, where you actually have the...
Yeah, a labour ward, labour room.
And there was my midwife, Cherry. And
always remember their name. Was she good?
I she's the only one I had, so I couldn't tell you.
No, but I've got this theory. You remember their name if you like them.
Oh, I see. I liked her.
Yeah,
I did like her. There she. Go. So then I was like, Cherry, it feels like I have to push. And the only description that I give to people who haven't done it is that it's when you, it's like, shit, no, I really need a poo. Like, I really, and you, it's just like, your body is like, oh my God, I can't hold it in, you know. It's,
yeah.
it's like when there is a poo sitting in your, you know, basically sitting in your colon. You're
just making me clench my pelvic floor.
Times 20, because, you know, all of a sudden your body is going, push, like you would if you needed a poo, right?
Yeah.
But it's a baby. So anyway, and she was just like, not yet. God. She goes, don't do it yet. It's too, I was just like, and I remember saying, I'm doing it.
Did you?
Yeah, because every single fiber of my body said push.
Yeah,
I couldn't go against it. It was like Billy Connolly does a bit about the withdrawal method. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
No,
where he says that only a celibate man could come up with the idea of a withdrawal method, where every single fiber of your being wants your hips to go that way rather than that way. You know, and so it kind of reminds me of that. Was just like, I can't not push. I cannot not do it. And then I remember then she was just like, okay, all right, fine, push then. Not like, come on, like, fine, push then. And I remember looking at the clock and it was 10 o'clock in the morning. And I'd heard they won't let you push for longer than an hour. That's what I'd heard. I thought, worst case, 11 o'clock.
Right.
So I was pushing and I pushed. There was a trainee doctor, Omar, who, my cannula, I was just, the sweat.
Yeah.
And my cannula kept coming out. And he was just trying to get it back, like get it back in again and stuff. And
oh, and that's all
Yeah, and Cherry was saying to him, I'm like, just like, you need to get it back in. And the poor kid, he must have been 21 years old, first birth. And and I'm just like, Omar, just fucking do it. And come on, Omar. Cherry's saying to John, another sip of water for mum, please.
Right.
And so all that was happening was this rhythm of, Omar, can you get the cannula back in? Another sip of water for mum, please. And this is just this happening. And I just wonder, can Omar and John leave this fucking room, actually? Because I feel like they're just not helping. They're getting in the way. They're touching me. I didn't, you know, I had a gown, but I just ripped the gown off because I just didn't want anything touching me. I didn't want a bed touching me, my own hair.
I remember you saying something about you didn't even want a hair.
Like the idea of hair, like get hair bands, take hair.
That was your advice, was just, get hair bands when I was...
just like anything touching me. Because it was just, I was just sweating so much. And I was pushing, I was on all fours and I was crouched.
You were on squatting. All fours?
Oh, I tried them all. Oh, you
tried them all?
And... you know, and I just wasn't very good at it, I don't think. And that's okay, I don't beat myself up about it. And John, I remember him kind of, and I remember like going, like that, and Cherry saying to me, don't do that because you look like your throat, you're going to end up with a really sore throat.
Right.
Like, you know, so bite down, but don't growl.
Right.
Yeah, it just seems like a good practical piece of advice. And then John, I remember John kind of holding my neck, like sort of almost pushing me. So I'm, you know, like this. So he was kind of holding me. And John is a big guy.
Mm.
And he said, you know, he said that he was basically putting his whole weight to, you know, it's almost like he was pushing as well. It's quite sweet, really. You know, just this kind of.
So you had something to push against?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And so rather than hand squeezing, it was just like, you know, I was like pushing. I suppose, I was pushing and he was kind of pushing forward. And the head was there, touched the head, I could feel this.
Did they do that thing where they said, do you want to touch it?
Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, whatever, come on then.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
But John was just like, oh, I can see, he was really excited. Yeah. He was really excited. And he's just like, I can see his head, I knew he was going to be a boy. And I'm pushing, and it just wasn't coming. And what it felt like, hey, was that he was Al was dry. That's what it felt like, was that he was dry and I was dry, and it just, he wasn't able to slide out.
Yeah.
And what it felt like was it needed some lubricant around it.
Yeah, get some lube down there. KY.
That's what it felt like. It's what it felt like. Come on, Omar, get some KY. And you're going to need more than that, mate. And and like a turkey baster. So that's what it felt like, and he just wasn't coming out. And then Cherry said, we're gonna have to intervene, we're gonna have to cut you.
All right, and
and I just thought at that point, it's just like, I don't give a fuck. Just get this baby out.
Episiotomy. Yes. Do they call it? Yeah.
I think she's a cut.
What did she?
So then I remember a woman coming in. I don't remember her name. She came in. She was very nice. She said, "Okay, I'm gonna make an incision, and we're gonna get this baby out." Okay. So I remember the cut, which I couldn't feel. Was not painful. I remember feeling blood, like wet, like real, like loads of blood sort of flowing into my ass, you know what I mean? Where it was, so I could feel that there was a cut.
Ooh.
And it doesn't make my it's funny, it doesn't make me go funny. And
describing it so well.
And then she got the Vontus. I remember seeing the Vontus.
For those who don't know, explain what Vontus is.
So Vontus,
not
is
a 1940s
like a,
dance routine.
It's
like a plunger.
Cone. Yeah, it's a plunger, yeah. So it's a cone that attaches to the head, and they pull a fever that is like sucks onto the head, and so it helps them to...
I guess it's less...
like a lever.
Aggressive than the
Forceps. Yeah. So it doesn't have to go round their head, it just goes on their head.
Sort of on the top, yeah.
And kind of then you can use that as a stick to pull them out with. I suppose that's it. And I felt them come out, and the instant relief...
Did you?
Instant relief,
really?
of this, that I didn't only realize that there was burning. My vagina was burning because there was a human sat in it for an hour and a half. And
sorry to me.
No,
relief.
No. And then they kind of rushed him to the back of the room, mm-hmm. which wasn't far, but let's say to the back of the room so I could see, and I heard him cry, and then darkness. Then nothing. And I kind of remember, the last thing I remember was my head going, let go.
No.
Let go. Like saying to myself, let go. And then I can't, then it's like, I passed out.
You passed out.
And so what had happened was that I had a seizure. So I contorted. So one side of me twisted round, like if you've ever seen anyone have a fit before, seizure. I turned round, and my head twisted.
This is what they told you?
John told me this.
Oh, did he?
So no, they didn't see it, John saw it, only John saw it. And I twisted round, and I started shaking. My eyes were rolling back, and I had a fit. And he shouted, Jem, this is his story then, he shouted, Jem, they pressed a red button, and suddenly... this is all him. This is what he's told me. The room was filled with people. So an alarm went off and it was full of people.
He must have been terrified.
Yeah, he must have been terrified, yeah. I mean, he's... The birth story became about him and how terrified he was, to be honest.
Of course he did.
Yeah, you know, that list. Sure, I mean, I'm the one nearly died, but fine. So what I remember is... I remember kind of then coming back into consciousness.
Right.
And just being really confused, like it was a dream.
Right.
And John said,
what a dream.
John said, Jem, we had a baby. So it's like a dream, you know, the sort of thing would happen.
Yeah.
Like, Jem, we had a baby. And I went, and I remember sort of scrunching up my face going, was it planned? So I'd forgotten that I'd had a baby.
Really?
I'd completely
God.
Forgotten. And John said that he was like, oh my God, like, fuck, she's gone. Like, she's gone. And whoever it was said, I think it must have been a head, like a doctor actually.
Yeah,
said,
head doctor.
Do you know who this is?
Right.
Pointing to John. And I said, that's my dad.
No.
Yeah. And the midwife, then I think they realised that actually I'm just a bit confused.
Right.
And the midwife said, you called your baby Ethan. That was quite a fashionable name at the time. And I was like, no, I wouldn't have done that. I was saying I wouldn't have called my baby Ethan. It's like it was a dream. I remember it was like I was drunk or something, and that it was a dream. And I'd bitten my tongue during the seizure.
Right.
So I couldn't talk properly.
Oh, God.
The most pain I had for the first 24 hours was my tongue. And then I remember my mum being there, and and I just remember being really confused, and I just wasn't sure what was going on, really. It was just like it was a dream. I wasn't really there, you know. And
I guess it's seeing your mum.
Yeah,
it's always going to make it. And did she sort of have that look in her eye where she was a bit worried?
Yeah. And my sister as well, my little sister. So they said only the dad and my mum could be there, but my sister barged in. She was just having none of it. She was just like, no, I'm fucking coming. And I remember her coming in and she just burst into tears. Because I don't know, just because I just look like such a mess, and I've seen photos, and it's like, oh god, like, and I'm just confused, I'm just frowning, and I've got this, I'm not even holding the baby properly, I'm just kind of, it's just like that, because so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the kind of the dream experience, and actually, you know, I was fine, I came to properly, and then people coming in, professionals, then I was moved to a high dependency unit, which actually was by my own ensuite.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed out of bed. I was catheterized. I wasn't allowed out of bed, so they would bring the baby to me, and then they'd do all the changing and swaddling and all that. So actually, it was quite good for the first.
So did hours. Gradually, obviously, the neurologist doctors are all keeping an eye on you, all that sort of thing. I mean, because you know, if you have a seizure, obviously, can cause some kind of head injury in your brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what they're worried about.
Yeah.
And having experienced that myself with an ex partner, I guess that each day you are getting a bit better.
Yes. Obviously. So they sent me for I got sent down to have a couple of brain scans. One was this one where it was like, have you seen the films, like all these wires attached to my head?
Really?
And I just remember the woman, I was so fucking tired, and the woman going, open your eyes, close your eyes, open your eyes. And that went on for about 10 minutes. And she was I was supposed to be staying awake, and she's just going, open your eyes, close your eyes. Remember that? And then I had a thing where you go into the, what's it called? MRI scan.
Oh, yeah. Big tank.
Big old fucking, and it goes bang, 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 that thing. Yeah. And there was nothing wrong with my brain, thank goodness. There was nothing, nothing bad happened. And I went to, I wasn't allowed to drive, which was very difficult for me, and I think attributed to my postnatal.
Wow.
Because I was trapped. I wasn't trapped. I was, you know, I didn't have.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to get out really, and or I was restricted rather.
Yeah. I know. You like driving?
I do. Yeah. No, I just know I like to go to places. Yeah. You know. And so that was it. So I was in hospital for three nights, and I'm glad that I was in the high dependency unit rather than on the general ward, because the general ward was horrible, noisy,
really?
And people visiting till midnight, bringing in takeaways for their, you know, the whole family visiting and stuff. So that was my birth story. But when I went to see a neurologist then, so then what happened was the hospital I was at, who took very good care of me, but their admin is shocking.
Right.
There is not one note about what happened during my birth. Not one. Nobody could tell me what happened. So I went to see a neuro. Well, my GP didn't know. So my GP rang
that
me.
That should have all been passed on to your GP.
My GP rang me one day after about 8 weeks and said, Gemma, I've just got a letter. Like, what happened?
Right.
And she was upset that, you know.
Yeah.
And she was like, come in tomorrow, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I got sent to a neurologist, and I just basically told that story. And she said, everyone's allowed one fit in their life. She said, everyone's allowed one fit, and it usually happens when through exhaustion and stress.
So that's what they put it down to.
Yeah.
And it's a massive...
Nothing's happened. Oh, it's huge.
It's a massive shock to your bloody body.
Yeah.
But obviously not everybody has a seizure.
No. But it's obviously very unusual.
It's very unusual, but... okay, let's have a bit of a musical break.
Please do.
Tell me, say one thing, and see if you understand. Say one thing. Mr. Nancy Bam Bam there. And the reason I played that is because that was on my birthing playlist for my first birth. But I don't flipping remember it. You're listening to The Funny Mummies for The Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. I'm Hattie Ashdown. And we're doing birth stories. And so we thought we'd start off with our own, of course, before we start talking to other guests. We just heard Gemma's birth story, which, don't worry, listeners, I've given her a big hug. It was quite traumatic. I didn't know all of that. I knew bits of it.
Yeah.
So, and what I find fascinating is I was thinking you was one of the ones that came up with this idea, because you were like, I love a birth story.
Yeah, I do. Because I like to, because I think there's a few things. But as I said at the beginning of my story, which is just about the... Like, really, it's not a miracle of birth, because it happens.
Yeah.
But the mother and the child working together to make it happen. And when it does happen, it's... I mean, I don't know about you, but when I'm watching...
One Born Every Minute.
Just that, and I'm there almost standing up, yeah, going, God, yeah, you know. Yeah. And it's just... I mean, you can't not feel...
emotional,
proud, yeah, joy, you know, that a baby is, yeah, born. It's
that's
like,
why
it's a new
people
life,
become midwives,
you know?
And yeah, love
course.
It.
So, yeah, I mean, although I'm not a great fan of babies, the idea of birth and another human being born is wonderful. Yeah. It's wonderful. So, yeah, I love hearing about it.
But actually, I mean, you might disagree, but actually what you went through, though you said at one point I wasn't very good at it, I disagree with that, because... He came out, he was alive, all is well, and in the end, but the actual the seizure was the worst part. I mean, obviously, up till then,
it was pretty normal,
pretty, you know,
I'd say pretty normal,
The fact that you did it without, really any pain relief, not even a bit of gas and air.
No.
Didn't fancy the gas and air.
No, I just seemed to be in total blackout, so I wasn't there to be in pain.
Yeah.
You know. And
you wanted to feel it.
Yeah, I just felt like I wanted control over my body.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as much as I could.
Yeah, I don't know, so I've had two births, and I'll try and go through them chronologically. It makes more sense, doesn't it? But I guess I didn't know anything, even though I've had three sisters and a mum. Yeah, mum who had four daughters. My mum did it naturally, you know, back in the day. Not even a bit of gas and air. I think she said she tried a little bit with me and felt a bit like, oh, no. So, but I don't remember feeling scared. But I did the hypnobirth. So with Hux, I did the hypnobirthing route. And I guess, yeah, once she explained everything to me, like you said about the pelvis, you know, should help you and do a lot of the work, I didn't really thought about it. Yes, I guess I did want to, I didn't really think about the I want to feel it thing. I guess I lived in hope that I would be one of those that it's like, I'm going to be good at this. The pain, it's interesting you said about that you thought it was going to be from, because that's, I remember when I was little, my older sister's friends coming around going, oh no, that was it, we went for a massage, like you do when you're pregnant, and of course I got a massage woman that was just like, oh, so when you do, and all that, she went, my friend had her 7 weeks, she said it was like a ball of fire.
Oh, God.
So relaxing. But I'd had loads of that as growing up. I remember like aunties coming around and going, oh my
shit
God.
In a watermelon.
Yeah, all that. Yeah. So yes, I guess I was the same. But yeah, that was the big shock to me. So anyway, so I'll take you through obviously I won't take you through it all because it'd be all too boring. But I did the hypnobirthing, which I would say to anyone, I absolutely loved it. And I loved all the classes. I loved the fact that it made me and Alex, I was worried about him. You might be able to hear this. But he would agree that he would feel useless in the birth, because a lot of men say that and not know what to do with himself, and I didn't want him to be annoying. So one of the reasons I wanted to do the hypnobirthing was it's about what your partner can do and be useful, sort of thing. And actually, even though
I wasn't actually able to use a lot of hypnobirthing practices. Fast forwarding a little bit, I still would never take back, because I think when I did go into contractions with my first, and you was talking about the breathing, and that's the thing, you just need something to focus on.
Yes.
And
yes.
And so I was doing all the hypnobirthing breathing, and thank God for it, because so I wasn't induced or anything. I think I was about a week late. I was doing all the hypnobirthing things. I was at home and we were just like watching comedies, what she said, to raise the oxytocin. So we was watching all this comedy. We planned, we had all these things planned, the candles and just to relax in me. I was eating shitloads of dates, because so that I was really scared about the pooing thing, of like pooing and everyone seeing the poo.
Stupid
that you worry about these things.
But I understand that.
Yeah. But what happened then, that when the very, very early contractions, I could not get off the toilet. I was just pooing so
right.
much.
And was it runny?
Just coming out. So that, you know, talk about the exhaustion thing. When it came to bloody labour, I was so exhausted from pooing.
Right.
And anyway, then, Alex was watching all the time and stuff and phoning the hospital, and they were saying, you know, don't come in yet and all that sort of thing. I got to that point where I was like, I think we need to go in now. And I was like, I can't get in a cab. You didn't have a car at this point. You've got to phone me an ambulance. Because I couldn't stand the thought of bending. I wanted to stay up straight.
Yes, yes.
I don't know why, but I wanted to stay up straight.
Yes, yes.
And I was like, please get me an ambulance. Because I thought, in an ambulance, I can be on all fours. I didn't want to, like, sit down. Anyway, eventually talked me into getting in a bloody Uber. And I remember walking to this Uber so slow. We got to the hospital and we did all that kind of... getting out the Uber and then stopping must have taken like what felt like hours to get in there. Anyway, so we got my hypnobirthing birth plan, and it's like, oh, it's all meant to be positive, and we're going to do it in, like you said, the sex chamber with all the, or I called it the 70s hotel,
because
this one in Lewisham looked like a 70s hotel. So you know, because the whole thing with hypnobirthing is that it's, you don't say any negative words.
That's right. Yes.
So that, what that midwife said to you was like, that's the worst thing.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't say anything negative. So the first bloody thing that said to me, we sit down, she examines me, and she went, you're only 1 centimetre. She went, oh, I went, gosh. Right. So the fact that she said only, everything's negative. You're only 1 centimetre. You might as well go home. Could be days. And I was livid from that point, because I was like, it really depressed me, because I felt like I'd been in a lot of pain. I didn't know more pain was going to come. I was so livid. Anyway, I'm getting it wrong. We came the first time on the bus. Yes, because the first time. Because the first time I wasn't too bad. That was it. Because we thought my waters had broke. But we found out later it was like, I think like a bit of really heavy discharge can basically come. And of course, when you say on the phone.
Oh, it's not your.
Like your plug. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
So of course they say come in, and then they went, no, your waters haven't broken. That's it. Yes, they sent me home. So then it was the second time I came back in the Uber. Yeah. That was it. So then the second time we go into the 70s hotel, and I really, really wanted a pool. This was the plan. And there was no pool in there. So the pool's been used, but just use this room for now and you can get in the shower. Anyway, I was livid because I was like, but I want to get in the pool now. But we're not ready.
So by get in the shower?
Stand up in the shower
and then
just, and just let the, no, just for the pain.
Oh,
the pain
relief. Sorry. I thought you meant
no.
Baby in the shower. But that's not a good story.
Yeah. Stand up. Let the...
The plug.
So she said, you know, you're basically, I hated them keep saying, you're way off. You're way off anyway. So you got, I just wanted, I'm a control freak. And I guess these situations, the worst and best of you comes out. And I wanted to know, the pool was there and da da da. And she was like, when you're ready, love, there will be a pool ready. But I wanted to know that pool was there. So in the meantime, for pain relief. And it did work. I'd suggest anyone, you know, get in the shower, get in the bath. It definitely, I just didn't want to get out. And talking about a soundtrack.
So what was helping?
I don't know, the water, just the
being
warm
on your spot,
water.
On your back.
Yeah, it was on my back,
just running on
my back.
Okay.
And we, Alex, bless him, he had the turning the candles on, spraying the lavender.
Well, I think it's about like the TENS machine in a way. It's just some kind of pulsating. Yeah, sure, okay.
And he put the music on, and I couldn't, I was like, yeah, put the soundtrack on. I couldn't, I couldn't decide if it was liking it or finding it annoying. So some of the time I go, skip this one. But the one I do, I remember...
the list that you'd put together, chosen, and you put together.
But the two songs I really remember from it was Arcade Fire, Leave the Car Running. That's what reminds me of being in that shower. And all I remember was getting out of that shower, and they'd said... And so at this point, I had a trainee midwife called Tabitha, and she was lovely. And actual midwife kept sort of changing a lot. So I don't remember their names. So Tabitha was with me from the beginning to the end. And that was what was lovely, because she was trainee. She was just with me the whole time. And she kept saying, "You sure you don't want to try gas and air?" And I said, "No." I said, like, because of being all hypnobirthing, like, I didn't want it. And then I tried it a bit, and it just gave me a bit of a headache. But anyway, I was like, oh, by this point, I'm like, just want to get things going. And so I tried it again. And I don't know, somehow, just breathing into that. Anyway, my waters broke like a tsunami. I was standing up, like, the midwife went, just, Tabitha went, "I've never seen anything like it." She was just like, "It's amazing." But sadly, meconium poo in the waters. So then... I moved out of the nice, lovely 70s hotel. And that's what it's like. That's where it all changes, isn't it? Because then it was like, right, we've got to go up to the labour ward. I've got, and again, because I just didn't want to lay down, I've got my arse in the air, all fours on this table. And you've got that sinking feeling of like, oh, now it's going to get all medical.
Can you remember why, what it was about being on all fours? Because I can't.
Just felt...
Was it that you didn't want to be on your back?
Yeah, I didn't... Well, I think I didn't want to move. So what the vital bit I've missed out is that when these contractions really started coming, they really were coming. And I felt like I was promised by hypnobirthing.
So,
that actually, I would have space in between to have a snack.
So can I speak to the hypnobirthing consultant that you have on duty then?
Yeah, I was told that, like, you'd have breaks between, you could watch a bit of comedy, you could have snacks. There was no breaks.
Yeah.
It was like a contraction, like you say, was like a hurricane coming over me, so heavy, so hard, take over my whole body.
Hurricane, yes.
And then it would go, and you go, oh, and she'd go, right, let's try and get you into a more comfortable position. And literally, as we're trying to turn, it would come back again. So it was like, okay, I'm a fast contractor.
Right.
But that's why I was so exhausted. So I think
there was no relief.
There was no relief. My body was so tense. Mm. So I didn't want to move. I just remember wanting to keep upright because I was so tense. But I remember feeling like no position felt right. But I knew I didn't want to lay down at this point. So she was like, "Fine, you can stay there." So I've gone up in the lift, Lewisham Hospital, arse in the air. And poor Alex is trying to gather all these millions of bags because I took so much, like you do.
The Peter K box set.
Oh, well, I had some people will go, "What the hell?" Roger and Val just got in. I love that sitcom.
Yeah.
And it's really gentle, but it's comforting. So I was like, that's what I had on. And it had me birthing music.
Just to cut in there, do you think, because I remember one of the NCT mums saying, "Oh yeah, we're going to just download a series of Grey's Anatomy onto the iPad." So there's obviously this idea that you can watch a sitcom, and that there's going to be these long periods of time where you are going to be able to focus on some kind of television programme. Have you ever heard of anybody actually getting through watching TV?
No. I feel like I've seen it in
one bong.
Yeah, and like other videos that I've watched. But it'd be interesting to people we got coming up to see if anyone has. Because these unicorn creatures supposedly exist. Yeah. That I guess I have heard some people just seem to sort of have quite a... almost like a slow build-up. So it's just like the... I tell you who probably should, but she was in the pool. Probably would have been Josie, and hopefully I'll get her on to talk about her birth. But that was quite. And then when it was like party time, it was boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
So some people have that. I don't know. Hopefully we'll find out some people that did. So I've gone up there, and because when that happens to you, they connect you all up to
your bits, your wires,
your bits, because they've got to monitor the baby because it's dangerous if they eat their poo. And so I was kind of disappointed. And then, yeah, that's the thing. And that's my advice, is just like, be prepared for things changing. And that was the good thing for having the second one, was just that I was prepared for, like, sort of for change, you know. And that was the thing. I got my heart so set on this hypnobirth. But as I say, I was still contracting, and that hypnobirthing breathing, I don't know what I would have done without it, to honestly, because I think I'd have been panicking about what is happening to my body. So thank God for that. And you know, and Alex was great. He was like, bless him, trying to read out all these affirmations, stuff that, you know, you're meant to be reading out. Like, you're, you know, I don't know. I can't even remember any of them now. You can do this. I don't know.
Yeah.
A bit better than that. But, you know, I'm ready to meet my baby. I remember.
Yeah, you have all the energy you need.
Yeah.
You have everything you need to be able to give birth. Yeah, it's lovely. My sister did it, and I read some of them. It was great.
And we used to listen to them every night. We went to bed, and it was so relaxing. So we got up there. I'm all wired up, and then, yeah, starts. I'm pushing, and then I remember getting to this point where it was just like you said, really, it was like, oh, it's just enough now. Like, I'm knackered from all the shitting. I'm knackered from these contractions that are so fast. And then there was this one bit, they were like, we can see hair. Like, go on, Hattie, you're doing so well. Mm. But I felt like, I always describe it as that, like, it was a wet fish hitting against... a dead wet fish hitting against a wall. I know that sounds mad.
That's
but
what,
like,
it felt like within you.
Like, I had no... You know, like you said, you had the urge to push. I did not have the urge to push. They were telling me to push, but I was like, I had no strength. It felt like everything down below was just dead.
Dead.
Yeah, it was... I don't know. It was really odd, and I was so exhausted. And then they were like, heart rate was going... dropping, so they were starting to get worried. They were like, look, you know, it's all fine, like they do. I have to say, big up Lewisham Hospital. Both my hospitals were really great. I said, but we've got to get him out. So they wanted me to sign a thing to say I was all right to have a cesarean if suddenly you needed to do it.
Yeah.
And so at this point I went, do what you fucking need to do. I did, literally, yeah. I just went, yes! And she said, but what we're going to do first, we're going to try the Vontus first. But what we're going to do is we're going to give you an injection that's for the spinal injection, not epidural.
Yeah.
It was
spinal
for,
block or something.
Yeah, that you would use for cesarean. So that if the Vontus doesn't work,
yes, we can go.
We can cut straight
speed.
Away.
Yeah. Did you not feel, I'm sure you didn't have time to think about this, but now we're sitting here years later and, you know,
fully, 5 years later,
fully intact, yeah, well, is that I would think, well, hang on a minute,
what?
If I'm going to have a cesarean anyway,
yeah,
do you have to cut my fanny? Do you know what I mean? It's like, what, imagine if they cut, carry on.
What if they'd have to? Well, this is why a friend of mine, which she might come because she's been on before, but she might not want to talk about her birth story, so I'm just going to say it and not say no. They had that same question and they went, no, just go straight to the cesarean then, because I don't want you to have to cut and then have to do
this. Yes.
But I think I was so determined not to have a cesarean, not as anything wrong with cesarean, but at that point I was like, okay, let's just do it. And she seemed really confident. She was like, you can get this out. And so. Yeah, but I know what you mean. Like, now I think, yeah, actually, just go sunroof. But I went, so okay. So but I still swear by the hypnobirthing that we go into the theatre. So Alex is all gowned up, and they put that spinal injection in me. My God, it was all the Christmases come.
Was it?
It felt absolute. It was like someone had switched on this light and gone, here you are back. Because while I was in that pain, your personality's gone.
Yes.
Hattie's gone.
Yes, yes.
I'm gone.
Yes.
And I went, hi, Denise, Howie, I love your hair. I was just like making all the jokes. And, actually...
Were you high then? Were you a bit high?
I've been on relief. Class A drugs. It didn't feel... It was just like back to normal. Yeah, it was like a relief. And one of them actually said, oh, hi, nice to meet you. And it is like that because it's like you're not there. You're there. And so she said, like, look, you're not going to feel, and the bottom half of my body was dead, couldn't feel it. And she said, you're not going to feel anything, but when I tell you to push, you've got to push. And I don't know where it came from, but I remember something in hypnobirthing, visualisation. So I was visualising, and they always say, pick something. And for me, it was a cafetiere. You know, as the cafetiere pushes down. So I was, that's what I was imagining, and it bloody worked. So she was able to get him out with the Bontos. And so I didn't feel it. I didn't feel his head or anything like that. So I didn't have that time. And she put them on me straight away. And I remember the first thing I said was, it's a baby! Because I had that thing of, I don't know, I couldn't connect that it was a baby inside me. I know that sounds mad. Yeah, I knew it was a baby inside me. But until you really see it, that's the only way I can describe it, is that then I got it. And yeah, it's a baby. And anyway, and yes, I was, so they cut me, so then they had to stitch me up, but I'm, very good job. I think they had a bit of trouble with the placenta. There was a bit of tugging going on with that. But they got that. And then he latched on. I was very lucky with all that side of breastfeeding. I had a bit of a mare with they overfilled, but that's another story. That's not this story. Let's play a song before I go on to Buster. Regrets collect like old friends, here to relive. Shake It Out, Florence and the Machine. Something I was really hoping that I'd be able to do with my second birth. You're listening to Hattie Ashdown and Gemma Beagley on the Funny Mummies podcast for The Other Woman Show on Soho Radio, and we're talking birth stories. And that song was around at the time that I was pregnant with number two, and I put that on the playlist. Again, I don't remember that one playing. A lot of people say that when they have playlists, they go, I don't remember any of the songs, but odd ones will drift in and out of their consciousness. It's interesting. Number two, I mean, it was very... I feel bad because I'm like typical number two. I haven't got much time to talk about number two, and it's a bit typical of the second child is everything's like, bless them. It was the pregnancy was very similar. I had PGP with Huxley, so of course that had ramped it up in the second one because my body's going, oh, not another big baby. And I should have said, yeah, I had Hux was 8 pounds. What was Alistair?
8.6.
Oh, both good sizes.
Interestingly, again, I had a scan the day before I was induced,
right?
And I said, any idea what you think the weight is? And she went, 8.6.
Wow.
The sonographer, yeah.
Interesting. Wow, that's quite spot on.
Yeah, spot on.
Because with Hux, I don't think they were too worried. They were like, oh, he's looking like he's quite quite a big baby, but they wasn't too worried. But with Buster, he was getting really, really big. And I won't go through all the sweep stuff because it's just boring. But I think I had about 3 sweeps.
Did you?
Yeah, so people don't know. It's basically, they sort of put their hand up there with some chemical to try and soften the cervix. Is that right? Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
I know it didn't feel right. I had one and it didn't feel right.
I didn't want to do any of it, really, but because they were really worried about his weight. He was getting really big, and they didn't want him to have shoulder dysmorphia, which, for those that don't know, is where they can be so big they can't come out. You have to sort of break their shoulders to get out.
Yeah, my nephew was like that.
Oh, really? And did they have to do that?
Yeah.
But he was all right?
Yeah.
He's got a bit lopsided, but... Sorry.
Can't raise his arm, but sometimes that's handy.
Yeah.
As a mother.
Look, we have to make joke. So I had to, I don't want to say, it was like, everyone said about it being really painful. And the weird thing was, two of them, nothing. And then the third one, I don't know if this woman was just having a bad day, but it was painful. I didn't do anything. And then they said, well, we're going to have to induce you. And I really, I didn't do any hypnobirthing classes, but I got the folder out and like tried to brush up on it. But when you've got a 2.5-year-old running around, it was just like not really going to happen. We tried to listen to a few of the tapes, but we were like, fell asleep at the first couple of words of them going, imagine you are, it was it. So it was all very different. But I felt, yeah, now I look back, I think, God, why was I not more scared? But it's weird, isn't it? The old Mother Nature thing takes over. And I, because I didn't know what to, you know, expect. Because, yeah. So anyway, so I've gone for sweeps. And then they said, you're going to have to be induced. And so they literally, like, the next day, I came back. And it was the heat wave, proper heat wave. So hot. And my fear about being induced again also was just like a lot of people have been induced at had cesareans. I'm very, like we said before, I'm very cautious of like not messing up what's going on with the baby, and I feel like the inducement sort of slows, like we said, the natural process of being born. And that again the baby can naturally help get it out, and I feel like with the inducement it slows that down again. So I was like, oh, aren't I going to get... Anyway, I had to because they were worried about it. You know, the doctor came in, did that thing. Look, I do advise. Da-da-da. Did the first one. Wait 24 hours. Nothing. I'm stuck in a ward with a woman that had guests. Guests? It was like guests because it was like a one-woman show with a... She just did not stop talking all night. And she had visitors coming 3 a.m. bringing her Kentucky Fried Chicken. So noisy, and I was getting, I just wanted some sleep, so I never got any sleep. And then had to do it again, and the second time I was getting into it now. I was like, oh, I'm gonna listen to some podcasts, try and enjoy the time that I haven't got the other little kids. I listened to weird podcasts. I was listening to Desert Island Discs. What's his name from Peep Show?
David Mitchell.
No, other one. Who
Robert
was,
Webb.
Robert Webb, whose wife we have had on Funny Mummy's podcast. Yeah, so that's really bad for me to forget. But I listened to his Desert Island Discs, and and that was what. And then it started to kick in. I was like, oh, I'll just get into that. But it was this time. I mean, they say the second one it can be faster anyway.
And was Alex at home?
So very different experience in terms of the first time. Alex slept at the hospital and stuff like that. And this time they were a bit more stricter. And also we had another kid. I wanted him to go home because I was like, he's better if he gets a better night's sleep rather than sleeping in the chair. But at this point, he was just sort of dozing down in the chair. So I'd had the inducement. And so he's dozed. I said, well, we might as well just get some rest. It might not happen straight away. Literally, I think it was within 40 minutes. Like, I was like, I think it's working. And then they come in and they examine you. And she went, yep, you're about, what was I? Oh, this is what I want to ask Alex, because I was really far along. Something like 5 or 6. And he was so excited because he remembers what it was like with Hearts. It was like, oh, you're at one. He was like, yes, come on, let's go. And then you're wheeled through to the labour ward. And but my focus this time, because I didn't have the pull focus, because you can't have a pull when you've been induced, is I wanted the epidural. And so I keep saying, can I have the epidural? They're like, yep. And then it kept not coming. And you hear this story all the time.
You ask something and it just never...
But it's always epidural. The amount of people that I know... So I was on it, mate. I've watched enough One Born Every Minute to know that basically if you don't get in early enough, they'll say you're too far gone. So there was one point... She said she'd remember...
Does an anaesthetist have to do it?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So there might be... They're waiting on an anaesthetist.
I think... And I said to Jade... This was my midwife this time, who was brilliant. She was a proper cheerleader. She was like, you are a strong woman. You can do this. She was one of them. She was brilliant. But I said to Jade, is it the money? Because obviously I'm off my head now. I got into the gas and air this time as well. I wasn't doing it proper the first time. She said, because I said to her, it just made me a bit sick the first time. She said, if you have it too early, it doesn't really do anything to make you feel sick. You've got to do it. Like when the contractions are really full on.
Right, yeah.
I was like, oh, this is more like it. So they were brilliant. And I was still like, she was like, yep, yep, he's coming, he's coming. And he came. I had a bit of trouble because you have to, I don't know, it just seems ages to try and get the bloody needle in and everything. They got it in. And then, this is my birth story bit where it's like, oh dear, I'm going to put you off. And they put it in and then I'm having another contraction. And this is the first time I'd have that feeling of wanting to push because I've never really had that with Hucks. I said, I really want to push. And she's like, not yet, not yet. And then eventually, okay. And again, it was like, yeah, when they tried, okay, okay. Yeah. And I think now that's where I had such a tear. Yeah, later. Right. Because it was like, I shouldn't have. But anyway, she was
why
like...
why would a tear... Why would... Why do you think
I don't
that?
Know. I think because, isn't it like... they've got to wait till you're more... I don't know. It's a good question. Midwives, tell us.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So maybe does your opening open?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like it's got to be maybe, when the baby's ready as well, or something. I don't know. She can see. I don't. That's a good question. This is where we need a midwife on this. Yeah. Maybe I'll get a midwife for the rest of the shows. Anyway, I do have a midwife friend. That's a good idea.
I've got one in training. I think.
Yeah.
She's a Facebook friend.
I've lost my flow now. So she's a pusher. She said, yes. Okay, you can do little pushes. I'm doing little pushes. And I'm thinking, I could feel it. Like, I was like, she was like, yeah, you can. You a lot of the time you can still feel it with the epidural. It just sort of like takes the underlying of the pain away.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, it wasn't until afterward that Alex went, I think she was lying to you to make you feel better. That's not normal. Like most people, it just completely, it's like, woohoo! I remember Kerry Howard saying, it's just like, woohoo! Like, holiday, like once the epidural kicks in. I did not have that. It was like taking a really strong painkiller.
Right.
So it numbed it a bit, but I could still feel the head, and I felt like I'd experienced giving birth naturally, honest.
Yeah.
So then there was that point, and she was just brilliant. She was like, there was that point where I remember that panic, cause like, there must be a moment where you just go, I mean, I think you're gonna have to get the forceps to say, I can't do this, can't do this. She went, okay, we can do that. It may take a little bit of time. And what will happen is there is a chance of face disfigure or something like that.
Yeah,
she said,
while
she's going on, you know, you go, all right, stand back. Let's just do it then. And so just dig deep. As I say, dig deep. I don't know where I digged because no energy back. Got my soundtrack going. And I remember, I am a rock. That's what I remember as he was born.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah, Simon and Garfunkel. And he came out and it was more of an amazing feeling because I'd really experienced the feeling of him coming through the vagina. I remember going, oh my God, and that's first thing I said was, I went, I'm so proud of myself.
Good for you.
That's the first thing I said when she put in my chest, poor Buster. And he was fine, thank God. And they put him on me, and I just remember they went, yeah, but so-and-so's going to come in now. And Jade had gone. I remember her saying, I've got to be gone by 8, so you better have this baby by 8 a.m. Do they say that as a trick? Because I remember going, I've got to have it with her because we've come this far and she's brilliant. Mm. And it was. He was born at 8 a.m. I was like, I think it's a trick to make you just get it along. So she left and then another midwife came and she's stitching me up. Oh, my God. She was down there forever. And stitching me up.
Gosh.
And what came on the soundtrack? Because it had been left to go on to just like my normal Spotify music. Mm-hmm. And came on, A Woman's Work from flipping... Calamity Jane came on, which is like, yeah. And I remember saying to her, oh, how many stitches? And you haven't done, she went, a lot. It's like, she lost count. So yeah, I had 2-degree burns, like tears, not
yeah,
burns,
yeah,
tears.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. So that's, I mean, there's, yeah, loads of other bits, but that's the gist of it, really.
And... I mean, obviously, you know, there's 2 different experiences there, and you've got 2 beautiful children.
2 beautiful boys.
Do you think you learned anything from the first to take into the second? or do you think they really are absolutely exclusive of each other? And
you'd think I would, wouldn't you? But I don't. No, not at all. I can't believe now, looking back, because like I'm, you know, the shop is shut now, and I wouldn't know anymore. And I feel like now one of the things is like I've been more scared, but I think that's because with Bus I really experienced what the pain felt like. I look back now and I'm with Hux, so I think I wasn't scared with Buster, which is, again, if you go on hypnobirth, it's best to go in not scared. Mm. No, that's a good question, and I don't know why I didn't. You just forget, don't you?
Yes, you do. And like I said, I can't remember being in pain. I just remember being tired.
Oh, I can remember the pain. If I think now, I can remember the heaviness, the pushing.
That heaviness.
Yeah.
For me, I relate to late pregnancy rather than it actually the birth itself. Like, it's also, I think it's that bedside manner bit as well, and you know, we'll hear experiences as we go, where you just, you know, hit all the time, and we went there, they told us not to come, but we went anyway, then they sent us home.
Yes.
Like, you hear this all the time, and it must be annoying for them, where it's just like, we told you not to come,
yeah,
and here you are, and what would you know, you are not 1 millimetre dilated, you know, or whatever. But I do also hear about, it's just like, oh god, this is so stressful for women, and
yeah,
you know,
they're just,
please don't say that, please don't say, you know, this probably won't work, please don't say I'm doing it wrong, please don't say I can't, you know.
Yeah, I think that I was lucky, I generally have very, very good midwives, but you can't help the odd, you know, one that comes along and says those negative comments, and that's the big thing in the aisle. No, I thought my number two was coming out.
No.
not that number two. Did enough of that. But yeah, I was just thinking then, actually, the second one, I probably was just, yeah, less scared. But it was just a whole new, I was induced with Huxley, so it was all a new experience. Yes, yeah, but I was less scared, and and kind of walking around when I was induced, and they said, I'll just go and walk around the hospital. I wasn't scared to.
Hi.
Come say hello.
Talking about you. No,
Alex, do you, what was the question I was going to ask Alex about? I couldn't remember. Oh no, I can't remember now. There was something in the birth I was like, he'll remember. I can't remember. Do you think I was more scared in my... Do you think there's any changes in my second birth to the first one in terms of how I felt?
I asked Hattie if she learnt anything, yeah, if she learnt took anything into the second one.
I think one practical thing you learned was, like, don't start on gas and air. Like, go for gas and air later.
Oh, yes, okay.
Something where they were like, yeah, because you felt really sick from just being on gas and air really
early. Yeah.
But also it's totally different because the labour was like, because you're induced, it's like, well, I'm sitting here, now they're going to do something and now I'll go into labour, rather than like the hanging around at home. It feels like a lot of the tension is being at home, being like, is it, isn't it? What do we do? Is the house ready? Is this ready? Have you packed the bag? Should we go yet? Do we wait?
Well, that's true. So that's the difference with the second one, isn't
it?
Yeah,
because you're in hospital and you're like, well, when it starts coming, I'll just get wheeled into that other room.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Yeah, I see. Yeah.
And how did you come closer to the mic?
Yeah.
How did you feel as a dad from the first to the second?
I think
the first one was stressful for you, wouldn't you say?
yeah, I don't think it was.
Be careful what you say now.
It was as stressful for me as it was for you.
Thank you.
Correct.
Correct, yeah, answer.
I'm not going to pretend that I had a really terrible time.
You have to be really careful.
It was such a difficult time during your first birth. You were very mean to me on several occasions. But yeah, like the second one, you just sort of know what to expect. It's sort of more emotional because I knew what to expect a little bit, like having a second child is like, all the milestones you sort of appreciate more. I do anyway, because you're like, oh, this is a one time, this is one part of their life. Like the first one, you're like,
baby,
what happens next? What should they be doing? Is that enough? Should they be doing this?
You didn't cry at either birth. I was upset about
until
that.
I cried at Buster's birth.
Did you?
Yeah,
little
I did.
One?
Yeah.
I never saw.
Yeah, well, I don't glut, but I had like a little personal moment. you were busy. I wasn't like.
God, I also remember that room where they were, when they were stitching me up. There was like a curtain open, and I could see like workmen outside. I was like, I don't know if they could see me or not. Good
when,
old.
That's when I had my cry.
That's when you had your cry. Ba-bum. Ba-bum.
All right, see you later. I'm trying to get him to eat dinner.
Well, the thing that I moan about with him is in the first birth was, and he hates me always saying this, but I was like, I just remember feeling so thirsty, and I was in that point of like a trance. And people say, as in hypnobirth world, they say it's like being a cow and you're bowing down and you're like at the moo stage. And I was at the moo stage with Hux, but I was so thirsty, so I'm trying to go, can I have a drink? And we'd run out of water. As in, we had these bottles of water. So he's just gone, grabbed what I've got, which was this carton of orange juice. Anyway, it just was so acidic.
Right.
Orange juice just smelled like the worst thing. Hello? Where's your baby? Where's your baby? But yes, there I guess we better finish up, really. I hope this hasn't scared anyone. It shouldn't do. If I wasn't so old, I think I'd definitely do it again. I'm just too old now. But
yeah, same.
You just feel like you. It's a young woman's game. No, it's not really. obviously, people. My mum had me late.
What I would say is that something my mum's brought up, which is that she said it just seems that these days, you know, our generation, are not having straightforward births. They don't seem to. There just seems to be a lot more cesareans,
right.
A lot more complications, a lot more, you know. Or is it that women moan about it more? I don't know, but that's interesting. That's interesting to hear. You know, more
I've really
stories.
Got to get a midwife on. It's very interesting. I would say, off top of my head, just thinking about my mum's generation anyway, which is older than your mum's generation, but is that just don't talk about it. They didn't talk about it. I asked my mum about my birth, and she, it's like a lot of it she can't remember.
Yeah.
But I think they just didn't talk about it, which is, you know, obviously probably came with its problems and stuff. There was a lot more death and childbirth. You know, I just think it's great now. Obviously, there's a lot more open to. I think all my mum had was gas and air and pephedrine, I think.
Hot towels.
Have a bit of whiskey. I think my mum had that on one of her births. Her dad or something saying, you know, do you want a bit of whiskey? Mm-hmm. But anyway. Right, let's finish the show. Let's play out with this one. I don't remember this in Giving Birth to Buster, but it was again on the telly. It was actually on some terrible advert, but the song is lovely. You've been listening to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio for the Other Woman Show. Please do keep subscribing and rating and telling people about it. We've had some lovely reviews recently. I just squashed my baby's fingers in the door, so what a good mum I am. Please, I'm not. Oh my god, did I just proper squash his hand?
I don't know if he did or if he it felt like he
oh he's
going
okay
to.
He's okay, everyone. So yeah, we've had some lovely reviews and it really really means a lot, so thank you. And this is by Nancy Wilson. You don't know how glad I am. You don't know how glad I am that you shared your story with me today,
thank
Gemma.
Thank you for asking.
God, I suddenly feel like Alan Partridge. Let's turn it up. That would help us. I'm doing it all from home, people. We're in our garden.
Happy with H.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to my panel and guests today. Edited and produced by Scott Kingsnorth in association with Screaming of Laughter, the lunchtime comedy club where babies can come too. These shows go out live on Soho Radio for the Other Woman Show. See schedule for details. Please subscribe, rate and review and share this podcast. We really appreciate it and it's the only way more people can find us. So see you next time for more Mum and Tonic.